ask that you'd please open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark. We are in Mark chapter 1. Today we will, Lord willing, be completing the chapter, finishing the chapter. We're going to be looking at verses 40 through 45, Jesus' encounter with a leper. What I'd like to do is begin reading at verse 29. That'll take us through the text we looked at last week. As we go, you'll see and remember that Jesus has left the synagogue and he enters into Simon and Andrew's house. Simon's mother-in-law is ill with a fever. Jesus heals her, and then the whole city starts coming to him, and he heals the people who come to him, and then afterwards he goes to a secluded place to pray, and then he begins going out to the cities, the highways and the byways, and preaching the gospel. So with that, and then you see that the leper comes to him. So with that introduction, let's read God's word. I want to remind you that this is, again, his word. It's holy, it's inspired, it's infallible. Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 29. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever. And immediately they told him about her, and he came and he took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick and oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Here ends the reading of God's word. Let's come to him in prayer and ask that he bless it to us. Lord, we do bow before you, and we want to ask that you heard earlier, Lord, I was marveling before your people about your wisdom concerning giving us the Psalms to sing. We're singing praise to you, yet you're speaking to us. It's marvelous. It's fantastic. Lord, you do great and wondrous things through your word. And so we're coming, praying in that same spirit, asking for the same kind of thing, that Lord, you would do great and wonderful things through the preaching of your word. You know how we're all in different ages and stages and with different needs. We pray that you would take this, your word preached, and that you would minister to each one, telling them exactly what they need to hear. We'd ask that you'd hear our prayer in Christ's name and Lord Jesus, for your glory's sake. Amen. I'm wondering if you've ever heard of the name Clara Barton. I'm coming to you with for the second week in a row with a woman from the past who is an incredible woman who's done marvelous things. Clara Barton was an American nurse. She's the one who founded the Red Cross. Of course, you're familiar with the Red Cross. And she served in the 19th century, especially during the Civil War, and she became known as the angel of the battlefield. At the Battle of Antietam, one soldier who was gravely wounded, desperately called out to her for help, and she speaks about that later. She goes out to him. She's in the midst of the firefight, and a musket ball tears through her dress, and she keeps that dress in remembrance of just how close to death she has even come, and trying to help these men that were dying on the battlefield. But that man was calling out to her desperate for help, and hearing his plea, she immediately went to his side, attending to his wounds. He had mortal wounds, this man, and she provided for his care the best that she could. But like the wounded soldier who called out to Clara, we all too find ourselves in desperate need of help and healing, not only from time to time, that's certainly true, but also we all have that inward spiritual need of salvation too. And in our passage, a leper approaches Jesus and he begs to be made clean. This is a powerful encounter between the leper and Jesus, and it reveals not only the depth of human need, but also the compassion of Christ. Today we'll explore this passage to understand the mercy of Jesus and the call to live in grateful obedience to him. We'll journey through the three key stages of this narrative: the leper's desperate plea, Jesus's compassionate response, and the subsequent call to obediently follow Christ. So let's begin by looking at the leper's approach to Jesus, which sets the stage for everything that follows. This leads us to our first heading, pleading in faith. Pleading in faith. And you'll notice that our text starts out with six simple words, and a leper came to him. In the ancient world, the term leprosy was broadly used to describe various skin conditions. Some sources suggest that there could have been at least 72 different skin diseases classified as leprosy in those days. These conditions ranged from a mild skin irritation to severe disfiguring diseases. And Mark doesn't specify, of course, in our text, which type of leprosy this man had. It may have been Hansen's disease, the most severe and well-known form of leprosy. It's the one you're probably familiar with if you've ever seen artists' renditions or perhaps photographs. It's characterized by nerve damage and skin lesions and progressive physical deterioration. Luke, as you may well know, is a physician, and his parallel account, he describes the man as full of leprosy. Full of leprosy. We see that in Luke 5:12. Now, Leviticus 13 and 14, it provides a detailed account of the laws concerning leprosy and the status of people who are afflicted with it. If you were a Jew in the ancient world and you were to wake up one morning and discover something on your skin, an appearance on your skin, you probably would have had a terrifying experience, and that's because of the ramifications of life for those who were lepers. If a person was diagnosed with leprosy, it meant facing not only a severe physical ailment, but also the most dire of social consequences. Leprosy was a dreadful condition that rendered a person spiritually unclean as well. Being declared a leper was the worst possible announcement in terms of isolation. Leprosy was incurable in the ancient world, and the diagnosis with it was that you were cast out of the covenant community. You weren't allowed near the temple, and you weren't allowed within the gates of Jerusalem. You were effectively barred from participating in the religious and communal life, what God had commanded for his worship. You just couldn't do any of those things. You had to live alone, outside the city, and without the company of your friends or your family or the community itself. In addition to isolation, lepers were required to wear torn clothes, and they had to cover the lower part of their face as a sign to others. So if you saw someone coming to you doing this, you knew right away you needed to pay attention. They needed to cover the lower part of their mouth, keep themselves really unkept looking, and that was to be a visual sign that they were lepers. If you were a leper, you were required, if you saw someone, they were coming toward you, you had to start saying, unclean, unclean. You needed to alert those around you that you weren't clean and they shouldn't come anywhere near you. They had to warn of their condition and prevent contact. If you think about it, sin and leprosy have some things in common. Leprosy renders a person ceremonially unclean, and it separates them from the community. Similarly, sin makes a person spiritually unclean or morally unclean, and it separates them from God and his people. Just as lepers were excluded from the camp, sinners are excluded from the presence of God. You can see that in places like Isaiah 59:2, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23. There's a sense in which we're all born spiritual lepers. Scripture is clear. We're all born sinners, separated from God and in need of salvation. In ancient times, leprosy was an incurable and hopeless condition. This parallels the biblical view of sin as a condition that humans cannot cure on their own. Only Jesus can provide the remedy. Imagine being the leper here in Mark's gospel. When news of Jesus's healing power reached the isolated huts of the lepers, it must have stirred him with a flicker of hope. I mean, imagine you're sitting there. It's hopeless. Hopeless that there is going to be a cure, and you hear of someone like Jesus, this man who had faced nothing but rejection and suffering, now heard of a healer who could perform miracles. So he resolved to seek out Jesus, believing that he might be his only chance of healing and of restoration. As he sought out Jesus, a leper must have been aware of the risk and the social conventions that he was violating. Lepers were, again, not to come near the healthy. They were to keep a distance and to declare their uncleanness. Yet driven by desperation and faith, he pressed on, determined to reach Jesus. The sight of this leper coming must have caused alarm. People likely hurried. They likely hurried to get out of his way, recoiling in fear and concern. Anyone near Jesus would have moved aside, creating a path for the leper to reach Jesus. Verse 40 points us to the picture of what happens when he does. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Can you imagine the sight of this guy? What do you suppose he looked like? The leper pleaded with Jesus out of desperation, acknowledging Jesus' power to heal him. He says, "You can make me clean." He's on his knees begging. It was a visible sign of humility and desperation. He's got nothing to offer. He doesn't have anything to barter with. No one wants anything that's remotely near this guy. He's in need of mercy. Although he knew Jesus could heal him, he didn't know whether Jesus would heal him. And what I want you to notice about the Lord Jesus is this: Jesus doesn't run away or recoil in disgust. He didn't flinch from the man's outward uncleanness. Instead, he saw someone who was hurting, and he offered healing. This encounter reveals a beautiful truth about our Lord. Jesus' love extends to everyone, no matter how deep your sin or how heavy your burdens. He's approachable. Again, he won't leave. He's not going to recoil with what you come to him with. He's ready to listen. Come to him in prayer, acknowledging your need and asking for cleansing. Now that we've seen how the leper approached Jesus in desperate faith, let's turn our attention to what happens next. In this encounter, Jesus not only demonstrates his power, but also his compassion. Our second heading is proclaiming compassion, where we'll explore Jesus' merciful response to the leper's plea. Proclaiming compassion. You know, I don't know what it is about me and baby birds, but I've got another baby bird at my house right now. So if you follow me on Instagram, you probably already are aware of this, right? Last week, I was leaving the church, and I was heading off to a lecture, and I got in my truck, and I started driving away, and as I was driving, I thought I saw something out of my peripheral vision. I thought, is that a baby bird? So I put my truck in park, and I got out, and sure enough, there he was, a little tiny baby bird. I don't know how he fell out of his nest. I don't know how he wandered into the center of our parking lot, but there he was, and I had a lecture to get to, and I needed to get there right away. I didn't know what to do with this little baby bird, but I certainly didn't want to just leave him in the parking lot to die. So I did what you will always do in that situation. I took him to the 1705 house. And I said, "Hey, will you guys do me a favor? I have to go to this lecture. I'll be back in 2 hours. Can you just put this little guy in a box or something?" And they said they would do that. And so they put him in the box. I went to the lecture and I came back and picked him up. Now, I'm raising up a little baby bird until he can be released. I'm caring for this bird because I was moved with pity. In our text, we see that Jesus was moved with pity. Not just for a baby bird, though. This is a human being who was suffering and in desperate need of mercy. Jesus saw the leper's disfigured face, his tattered clothes, and his desperate, pleading eyes, revealing a life of isolation and suffering, immense physical and emotional pain. Verse 41 says that our Lord was moved with pity. He was moved with pity. This phrase captures not just the reaction of his reaction to the leper's plea, but an intense and instinctive response. It struck at the core of who Jesus is. His pity was more than just a moment of sympathy and empathy. It was a deep, gut-wrenching compassion. The original Greek word used here conveys a sense of being moved in your inward parts. This is a visceral reaction that stems from the deepest part of who you are as a person. That's what I want to do. I want to set the Lord Jesus before you in his person and say, look at him. Look at who he is. Jesus felt the kind of compassion you feel when someone you deeply care about is in dire straits. You might know this feeling when pain hits close to home, such as having a desperately sick brother or sister, or your husband, or your wife, or your children, your grandchildren. You feel it right away to the depth of your being. Jesus' reaction went beyond mere feeling. It led to immediate, merciful action. This shows us the heart and character of Christ. His compassion is not passive, but active. He's not indifferent to our suffering. Instead, he's deeply moved by our pain and our need. His compassion moves him to reach out and touch the untouchable, to heal and to restore. In this moment, we see a Savior whose heart breaks for the broken and whose love compels him to intervene in our darkest moments. Draw your attention to verse 41. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." When Jesus began reaching out his hand, the onlookers, they must have been shocked, completely shocked. Not only were lepers not allowed to touch non-lepers, non-lepers were certainly not allowed to touch lepers either. Mark shows us that Jesus is the Lord of the ceremonial law by his willingness to touch the leper, an act that would traditionally render someone ceremonially unclean. But Jesus was the fulfillment of the ceremonial law. He would fulfill the ceremonial law by offering himself as the ultimate sacrifice, that one that all of that ceremonial law was pointing to. This is him embodied. He's here. The Lord of the ceremonial law. As Jesus reached out to touch him, the leper must have been astonished and filled with hope. No one wanted to touch this guy. Everyone did the opposite. They ran away from him. Since this was a man that's described as full of leprosy, we can reasonably assume that he had not been touched by a gentle, healthy hand in years. When he heard Jesus say, "I will be clean," he must have felt overwhelmed with relief and joy, knowing that his plea for healing was being answered in a way that he could hardly dare to dream. Verse 42 tells us what happens next. And immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. This highlights the sheer power of Jesus' word, which healed a disease for which there was no known cure. Jesus' command to be clean was a powerful, authoritative declaration that brought about immediate and complete healing. The transformation took place right before their eyes. Mark says, and immediately the leprosy left him. We don't know if it was half a second. What did it look like? was it over 3 seconds? This transformation? Five? Was it over 10 seconds? What did it look like as he morphed from leprous and disfigured and he was made clean and whole again? It must have been amazing. In that moment, Jesus not only cured the leper's physical disease, but he also lifted the heavy burden of shame and isolation. By making him clean, Jesus restored his dignity and he reconnected him with his family and with the community, back to being able to worship with the Lord and his people. Jesus gave this man his life back. In some ways, this really pictures and foreshadows what Jesus does for believers through his work on the cross. Like the leper, we are in a hopeless situation, burdened by the spiritual disease of sin, isolated from God and unable to save ourselves. In our desperation, we cast ourselves on the Lord's mercy, acknowledging our need for his healing touch. And Jesus, in his compassion, reaches out to us and declares, "You're clean." At that moment, he forgave your sins and imparted his righteousness to you. Your spiritual leprosy, which had separated you from God, was taken away, and you were made completely clean. Your shame and isolation were removed. You entered into a relationship with God, just as the leper experienced a new life through Jesus' touch. You were given eternal life. Believer, I want to remind you of that. It's Christianity 101, isn't it? It's Gospel 101. But it's something that we need to remember. Take this into your heart and hold it there with all you have. If you are in Christ, he has made you clean. While having seen the compassion and healing power of Jesus, we're now going to turn to his instructions for the cleansed leper. This brings us to our third point, prescribing obedience. Prescribing obedience. Several years ago, I went over to a friend's house who was packing and preparing to move. And if you've ever moved, you know what it's like. You have the boxes in your filling them up, and you keep asking yourself questions like, do I really need this? Why am I packing this? By the end of the evening, I had a stack of items in front of me that I didn't want, but that my friend was insisting that I take. And so be warned, right? And so some of the things that he had given me were several samurai swords. So this is, because I needed this, right? Take it, you have to, anyways. I took it, so I called, I didn't want it. I called a friend I know who has several young boys, and I said, hey, someone's given me these samurai swords. Is it okay if I give these swords to your sons? And he said yes, so I went over to his house, and I gave these swords to his sons. As you can imagine, they were super, super excited, right? And I was there, and the parents gave them a very stern warning. They told them very plainly that these swords are not toys. They're not to be played with. They're very dangerous. Do you guys understand? And they all, big smiles, nodded. they said they understood. Of course, they agreed to the terms, but that same night they got caught playing swords, and that was the end of the swords. I don't know what happened. I really don't. Well, in our text, something similar happens. The man who had previously been a leper and received an incredible gift of healing from Jesus. He was given specific instructions regarding what to do next. However, the man disobeyed, and there are consequences. As our text continues, you can see that Jesus gives the man several instructions. Let's consider verses 43 and 44. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." It's not surprising that Jesus sends the healed man to a local priest in accordance to the ritual for cleansing outlined in Leviticus 14. By presenting himself to the priest and offering the prescribed sacrifice, the man could officially be declared clean, and then he would be restored back to the community, back to his family. What is surprising is that Jesus gives the man a stern charge and he makes him leave immediately. He probably does that for several reasons. Jesus likely wanted to prevent people from coming to him merely seeking miracles, to see the sensational. His primary mission was to preach the kingdom of God, not to become a miracle worker in the eyes of the people. His true purpose was calling people to repentance and faith. He was making disciples, telling them to come, you believe, come and follow me. Jesus wanted people to come to him, not to just get what they wanted, but he wanted them to come seeking him. He desires more than a transactional relationship with us. Unlike the crowds who sought him just for physical healing, he desires hearts that yearn for him. He sought to be known and followed for who he is, the Son of God and the Savior of the world, my Savior. Not just for the physical benefits he could provide. Jesus wants people to come to him to get him. He longs for followers to recognize him for who he truly is, not just for what he can do. Sadly, the cleansed man blatantly disregarded Jesus' command to keep things quiet. Consider verse 45. "But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter." We can understand why the man was so excited. What happened to him was extraordinary. It was miraculous. But his disobedience had significant consequences. The man's actions restricted Jesus' ability to openly enter towns and to preach and to teach. His ministry, that is Jesus' ministry, was hampered because he was forced to stay in desolate places to avoid the overwhelming crowds. Even though he went to desolate places, we see that people were still coming to him from everywhere. The situation highlights the tension between Jesus' desire to preach the gospel and the people's focus on his miracles and to get something from him, to get what they wanted. And we're going to see this tension and this struggle as we continue on in the Gospel of Mark. And it also shows us the importance of obeying Jesus' commands. The man's failure to obey had a big impact on Jesus' ministry and the spread of his message. Here again, parallels can be drawn between the leper story and the story of every believer. When we come to Christ seeking forgiveness, he cleanses us and he calls us to follow him, just as he gave the leper instructions to follow. This call includes keeping his word, keeping his commandments. When you choose to follow Jesus, it's essential to listen to his instructions and obey. Your disobedience can have significant consequences, not just for yourself, but for the people who are around you. And our obedience, it springs out of our love, out of our affection, out of our converted hearts, doesn't it? If you're a believer, your obedience to Christ should spring from your love and your gratitude for him. Like the leper, you've been cleansed and restored. Jesus has reached out, touched you, and made you clean. The compassion and power of Jesus in healing the leper serve as a reminder to us to be grateful for his cleansing and to live in thankful obedience to him. We first saw the leper pleading in faith, approaching Jesus in humility and desperation, acknowledging Jesus' ability to heal him. His plea was a model of faith and desperation, much like our own when we recognize our need for Christ's mercy. Next, we examined proclaiming compassion, witnessing Jesus' pity and willingness to touch and to heal the leper. This act highlighted Jesus' deep compassion and his authority to make us clean, reflecting the same mercy he extends to us today. Finally, under prescribing obedience, we considered Jesus' instructions to the healed leper and the man's disobedience. This part of the story teaches us the importance of following Jesus' commands, as our actions have consequences not only for ourselves, but for those around us. Remember, like the leper, you have been cleansed and restored by Jesus. His compassion has reached into your life, bringing healing and forgiveness. Your response should be a life of thankful obedience, not just out of duty, but out of a deep love and gratitude for him. Amen. Lord, we are grateful that you have given us your word, that you came, condescended to take on a human nature, Lord Jesus, and to walk among us, to bear our burdens. To take our place, receiving what was rightly ours on the cross and exchanging that with us, exchanging your righteousness. Lord, we are astonished. You're so very good. Lord, we would ask that you would help us to reflect on our cleansing and that you would fill us full of joy and affection for you. Lord, help us to have a desire for you. Help us to seek you. Lord, hear our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.